Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. And by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price. Because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting Casper.com/HamNation and enter promo code HamNation. This is Ham Nation, episode number 261 for August 17th, 2016. Hamvention and the ladies.
Good evening, everybody. It's that time again. It's time for all of the ham radio guys and gals to get together, share ideas, have fun, and see what's going on around the airwaves. This is Bob Heil, K9EID, and I'm in the Ozarks tonight. And boy, we have got some really cool things going on. First of all, it's going to be ladies' night. Valerie has a wonderful guest. I've been hoping we'd have some of the YL gals on, and Ann Mena is going to be on. She's with the group that has been around for a long time. She can tell you all about it. The YL. I never can say that. But they'll be here to tell you all about how YLs play a very important part in our hobby. But we got the usual suspects of Don and George. We'll come back to them in a second. But look who's with us tonight. It's his maiden voyage to be live, and it's on his first. Hi, Randy. How are you?
Hi, Bob. I'm doing great. I'm glad to be on. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Well, you have a really great series, and I want you to get into it a little further with mm-hmm. George in a minute. We're really happy to have you here, and we'll have you back on more because you're doing all that smoke and solder stuff, and we need more of that. So we'll get that going. George, you doing okay? What's going on at the transmitter this week, George?
Well, fortunately, I haven't. I don't remember what day it was. It was probably Saturday evening or Sunday evening. Transmitter called me, and it was off the air, and I couldn't get it or the auxiliary on, and it had thrown three circuit breakers out there. So it was either lightning or the utility out there kind of got their phases twisted up, but that happens. Other than that, I've been in the office most of the week melting solder. So, that's plenty of rosin aroma in the air. And Randy and I are going to talk about that shortly here.
Yeah, we'll be back to you in a minute. Just remember, Don and I can help your problem of those stupid circuit breakers breaking. We got a piece of, it's about number 6 copper wire. It's about 3 or 4 inches long. What do you think, Don? We could fix all that problem with these fuses, don't you think?
Yeah, well, you know, certain calibers of bullets fit in there real good, too. And they let you know when they go off, which is a good thing. Yeah. So, wait, now, Ann Mana is going to be here tonight. That is, how can you be in a bad mood when you say a name like Ann Mana? It's almost as fun as watching Dr. Tamitha Scove. Speaking of Dr. T, we're not going to have her tonight because she's getting her daughter all ready for the first week of school. It's starting out there in California. Of course, it's been going for a couple of weeks here in the South Mississippi. But we won't have Dr. T with solar weather, but we will have some information on the flooding that's going on down here in Louisiana. And it is heartbreaking. And I'm going to give you some numbers that are going to absolutely boggle your mind. And that's coming up in the spot that Dr. T normally occupies right after Newsline. And we've got just a full show tonight, Bob, so why don't we just get on it?
Well, I didn't also mention the best part, maybe. Tim Duffy's with us again.
Woo-hoo!
And he's got that he took of the new Dayton. I haven't figured out if we're going to call it the Xenia Ham Fest or it's going to be called the Hamvention. Anyway, remember, last week he had that great video, and of his own station, the big contest station. Well, I told you to send in questions. Look at all these questions. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Don't know if we'll get to all of them, but we're going to try. So we're going to cover the new Dayton Hamvention Fairgrounds in his video, and then he's going to answer some questions about K3LR. So look at all this stuff's going on. Oh, my gosh. But we're going to start it off with George. He and Randy are going to get the old smoke happening. So let her go, George.
Okay, Bob. Well, looking forward to learning a little more about the new location of Hamvention there. And speaking of Hamfest, myself, Don, Gordo, several of my friends, Emil, the cheap old man, and Cincinnati Short Rib. A whole lot of people are going to be at Huntsville Hamfest this weekend. So if you're in the area or anywhere in the South, come to the Huntsville Hamfest this weekend. Probably one of the greatest hamfests in the South. Always a fun time there. Bob, we'll miss you, but I've got Gordo and Don both there to keep up with, so we wouldn't really have time to visit anyway.
You'll be busy.
Well, now, yeah, let's get Randy on in here and talk a little bit about building. Randy, you're working on a new kit here, right?
Yes, this is the it's the ZZRX 40. It's from the four-stage QRP group. It was on the cover of QST a couple weeks ago, and we introduced that on Ham Nation last week. And I have my kit here, and I even started to sort out the parts a little bit today. And I got some tools out here on the mat for the basic kit building that we can show everybody.
Oh, cool. So have you actually started yet and been videoing it, or are you waiting for everyone else to get their kits first before you begin?
Well, I made a little video today as I was sorting out the capacitors because I wanted to show you all how I'm organizing those for the kit build. Otherwise, I haven't started.
Okay, well, good. You're giving everybody else a fair chance then. So
yeah.
This is going to kind of be a group kit build like some I've done in the past. You've kind of worked out the details with the manufacturer of the kit here so that hams can or Ham Nation viewers can get a little discount on it and build along as you do. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. In fact, we have a graphic here that Brian can pop up. We showed this in the show last week. And what the four-stage QRP group has offered to the Ham Nation viewers is a discount on the kit. I believe it normally sells for $50 and it's $45. Something like that. Anyway, so the deal is, yeah, instead of 51 with shipping, it's now 47.30 with shipping. And the way the Ham Nation viewers can take an order of this is to send a PayPal money transfer to orders at 4sqrp.com. for $47.30, and in the notes section on the PayPal, put in the Ham Nation Build Group discount for the ZZRX 40. If you go to their website, there's no way there that you can buy it at the discounted price. And Johnny AC0BQ has helped out with this tremendously. And if you have any questions about this, contact him directly in his email. It's just up on the screen there. So you can back up the video and see that again. And they're extending this offer until the end of the year. So
okay,
help you out a little bit with the price.
Now, this is the same kit that was recently featured in QST?
Yeah, it was in the July QST. It was on the cover. It's the it's a little receiver in the red box. So in the red box is PC board material.
Okay. Well, tell us what we're going to need to build that.
Okay, let me switch my camera here. Hope this all works. I know Bob does this quite often. Okay, so some of the basic kit building things you need is a set of needle nose pliers so you can bend up the leads and push them through the board. A medium size will work fine. I also have some very small ones here. Another thing that you'll need is some type of wire cutters or side cutters so that you can cut off the leads real close to the boards. Not sure if the focus is following me here. Anyway, this is a nice pair, and this is kind of a more of a stamp steel, but they both work good. And see, you may need a wire stripper and maybe some type of pliers and a couple screwdrivers for somewhere along here. You probably need a magnifying glass because some of these parts and part numbers on the capacitors are very small. Or since I wear progressive bifocals, sometimes a pair of reading glasses makes it easier when you're working up close. It gives you a wider field of view. And we don't want to be breathing in the smoke from the solder. So I got a couple of ventilation ideas. In fact, I just posted a video a couple of days ago of me soldering a power pole connector onto this fan so I can have it off to the side here and blow the smoke away. And I also got this on Amazon, and it was $6.99, and it plugs into a USB port. Something else that's handy for kit building is some type of vise to hold the printed circuit board. I don't have one of the fancy PC board clamp styles. And another thing that's handy is one of these third hand, gizmos to hold maybe the parts or a connector when you're wiring. And of course, stuff out of the way here. If I can get this in here, a soldering iron. This is a soldering station. And if you don't have something this fancy, a simpler iron can work just as well. And where did I put that? It was right here. Oh, here it is. Here's one I carry in my toolbox. So it doesn't have a base station. And this does have a switch on the side here for 15 or else 30 watts. So, that'll suffice as well. And what else do you need? Oh, you got to have the solder. And you want rosin core solder. You don't want that acid stuff like you see in the plumbing store. So this is the type of solder. And sometimes you have to get the solder off of the board or the pad. So a solder sucker works pretty good. Push this in and you heat it up on the board and push the button and it sucks the solder up through. Or this solder wick material is also real handy to have. So the way I've organized my parts, and this is what I was doing today, was working on my capacitors. Some people use muffin tins to hold things. So I just took a cardboard box and kind of cut it out a little bit and taped up the bottom so you don't lose parts underneath the flaps. And then you can stick the parts in the little holes that are in the corrugated cardboard and, label your parts. So anyway, that's what I've been doing, and that's kind of the way I'm organizing my parts here for the build. So let me go back to the other camera.
So there's no surface mount work involved in this. You can do all of this with a regular soldering iron, correct?
Correct. There's no surface mount. There's no toroids to wind. Should be a straightforward kit for the beginner to put together. There's no alignment. And from the two kit builds that they talk about on their webpage, I think 20 at one club and, 13 or 17 at the other club, they all worked at the end of the kit building session. So we'll just keep at it now and start working on things. Put it together.
I saw the photo on the front of the QST magazine. I'll have to be honest, I have not read that magazine yet, so I haven't seen all the details. And this is a direct conversion receiver. This is not a super heterodyne style. So how are we expecting that it's going to work out performance-wise? Is it going to be as good as a super heterodyne?
I think it's going to be hot, but I don't think it'll be different because there's no IF filter. And there's no IF as such because the mixer mixes the 40 meter signal directly with a 7 meg oscillator signal. So what comes out is baseband audio. So there's really no way to filter it out. So as you tune through a station, you'll be able to hear it on both the lower sideband side of the carrier and on the upper sideband. So a CW signal, you may hear it twice as you tune through. A sideband, you may hear the other guy properly in lower sideband, but you may hear somebody else from the other sideband kind of as upper sideband. So it may be a little confusing, but that's kind of the nature of the small radio. Here's the instruction manual. So this is kind of what it looks like for the PC board and the case when you get it all built.
Okay, well, what do you say we give away one of these and somebody won't have to order one?
That's right.
You had sent me a question for this occasion, and we just kind of talked about it. And that's okay because we've already chosen a winner now. But the question was, what stage does the direct conversion receiver not have? A, an audio amplifier, B, an IF filter, C, a mixer, or D, an oscillator. And we had a lot of folks answer that, Randy, and most of them got it correct. Of course, only one winner, so we did a random drawing, and it's Joe Spears, AF1E. He said a direct conversion receiver does not have an IF filter. So what's he going to get, Randy? What's behind the curtain?
Well, he's going to get a plastic bag full of parts here, and I'll take this over to the post office tomorrow. And some assembly required, batteries not included.
All right. Well, thanks for being here with us tonight. We look forward to watching that kit build come along as you go. And, hey, we'll find out how well it works.
Hey, I've got got a question from the chat room, if y'all don't mind real quick. Somebody wants to know, sure. What does the ZZ stand for in the kit?
It's the designer's, it's part of his call. It's designed by Greg Johnson, AA0ZZ.
Well, there you go. Instant answers right here on the Ham Nation program. Where else are you going to get that? Nowhere, that's where.
That's true.
All right. Thanks, Randy. We'll see you next week. Well, I've got another question. I've got another question here, and because we're going to give away something else next week. And our question is, this comes from the Amateur Radio Technician's Exam. Which of the following is an FCC rule regarding power levels used in amateur radio bands under normal, non-distress circumstances? A, there is no limit to power as long as there is no interference with other services. B, no more than 200 watts PEP may be used. C, up to 1,500 watts PEP may be used on any amateur frequency without restriction. Or D, while not exceeding the maximum power permitted on a given band, use the minimum power necessary to carry out the desired communication. And what we're going to give away is the MFJ-148RC dual radio control clock. It's 12 or 24 hour display. It syncs with WWV automatically. You've got one side you can put your local time on, and another you can put UTC or whatever you'd like. 10 minute ID timer, and a lot more in it. Nice little clock. If you'd like to win that, then send your answer to me, hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and we'll be drawing it next week. Well, I'm going to be in Huntsville this weekend with, like we said, Don, Gordo, and everyone. So if you make it over there, come by and say hi. We're really looking forward to a fantastic time there. But right now, let's go to Don and see what's going on in the news.
WWV, all the time. You know, I might need to get back on the radio sometime. Yeah, why don't we do that? Let's check out what's... That's right. It's a perfect time for the time on WWV. Here's another minute. Let's go ahead and check out see what the news is from Amateur Radio Newsline. So roll that. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 2024, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, August 17th, 2016. You might remember our story a little while back about a group of hams who decided they wanted to get into the White House without mounting a long, expensive presidential campaign. Well, it's happening again.
On August 5th and 6th, members from the Great South Bay Amateur Radio Club ventured from New York to Washington, D.C. to activate President's Park. According to Mike Sarcharetti, KC2SYF,
when we saw that the ARRL was having their national parks on the air, we talked about it down at the club on Wednesdays, and then I activated a few parks here in the New York area, and I brought it back to the club, and I said, I want to try and activate the White House. I got a lot of hands that went up and said that they would be interested. So we put the permit in.
They operated for 2 days.
We had a total of about 1,250 QSOs.
They had no problems with the Secret Service either.
Were welcomed at the park by the United States Secret Service. They stopped by several times to check on us.
Although there was one tense moment.
One time a Secret Service agent walked over to us and asked what time we were here until or what time we would be operating until. And I wasn't sure where we were going, if we were going to have a problem or not. And I told him that we had to be out of the park by 5:30. He said to me, oh, I have a 2-hour drive home and I'm a ham and I wanted to work, you guys. So we handed him an HT. He went for a little walk and he got to work us on Simplex.
For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
Now let's get up to date with the latest in radio scouting.
This week in Radio Scouting, we have a report from Scout Camp, a special event in France, and JOTA updates. Philmont Scout Ranch is still on the air as K2BSA Portable 5 while summer camp season wraps up. We received report that there were summits on the air activated from the Scout Camp as well. Rover Way 2016, a gathering of 5,000 rovers in Jamville, France, is underway through August 14th. There will be scouts on the air and online thanks to Radio Scout Is Me, Francais. Their call is Tango Mike 16 Romeo Whiskey. JOTA, or Jamboree on the Air, will be the weekend of October 14th through the 16th. Scout groups from all over the world will be on the air trying to contact each other and those interested in working scouts. For more information on K2BSA, JOTA resources, and radio scouting, please visit k2bsa.net. For Amateur Radio Newsline and the K2BSA Amateur Radio Association, this is Bill Stearns, NE4RD.
In Canada, add the Wood Islands Lighthouse to the ever-growing list of activations for a big ham radio weekend this month.
Passengers who have taken the ferry between Nova Scotia and Prince Edward Island in Atlantic Canada are familiar with the Wood Islands Lighthouse. Now, the world of radio amateurs gets to take a ride there, too, if they're lucky enough to catch the next call. Using the call sign VY2PLH, a team of operators has added the historic lighthouse to the lineup of stations worldwide working the International Lighthouse and Lightship Weekend for the 48 hours beginning Friday, August 19. It will also be an opportunity for visiting guests at the lighthouse to try a QSO of their own, supervised by a licensed amateur. Hitching a ride on a very different kind of wave, one that surfs the ionosphere. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mike Askins, KE5-CXP.
Thanks, Mike. Of course, there's lots more in the full Amateur Radio Newsline report. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Paul Brown, WD9GCO, Bill Stearns, NE4RD, Mike Askins, KE5-CXP, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 7-3. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. And some good stuff in the news tonight. And this is, of course, where we normally have Dr. T, but she's getting her daughter all ready for the first week of school and everything else. So let's talk about some terrestrial weather and the horrendous rain that they've had in South Louisiana around the Baton Rouge area. This is some of the flooding. And this was not necessarily a tropical system, and it was tropical in nature, but it wasn't what you would call a hurricane or a tropical storm or even a tropical depression. It was just one of those things that happens, and that's around the Baton Rouge area. Brian, scroll on down. I want to do this radar loop, and you'll be able to see this. It's a little farther down. There's a radar loop, a video link. Keep going down just a little bit farther. There it is right there. Go ahead and hit play on that. The town of Watson, Louisiana, got 31.5 inches of rain in 24 to 48 hours. Now, to put that in perspective, 31 inches of rain, the average rainfall annual for this part of the world is 60 inches. So they got half their annual average rainfall. And you can see it just kind of parked over us. And then right over Baton Rouge, as the radar loop comes around, it just dumps and dumps and dumps. And thankfully, New Orleans stayed out of this.
Baton Rouge, that area, all the way over towards Lafayette, just got absolutely hammered. And you can see it just sits there and just dumps and dumps and dumps and dumps and dumps. A lot of people are out of their homes. Thousands of people are flooded out. So far, the death toll as of today, when I was driving home, was 12. Go to the American Red Cross is a great way if you'd like to donate to the cause to help these folks down here. Just an amazing situation. And they said this was a 500 to 1,000-year event, which gives it, what is that, 0.1% chance per year of something like this happening. And think back to what happened around the Texas-Louisiana border 5 months ago in March. Essentially, the same thing. Another one of those 500 to 1,000-year flood events. 45 miles of I-12 between Hammond and Baton Rouge was shut down because it was underwater. And you remember that the I-10 around the Texas-Louisiana border was shut down because of high water for many, many miles. So we've had two, basically, 1,000-year rain events in the last 5 months. And thankfully, New Orleans is spared. We stayed high and dry in South Mississippi. But I don't mind telling you that a lot of Katrina flashbacks going on down here. And our thoughts and prayers go out to all the folks up in the Baton Rouge, Hammond, Lafayette area, all up in there. So if you can help, just go online to Google and search. Just search out a way to help Baton Rouge. You'll find lots of different ways to help. The American Red Cross is a good one. So if you can, then by all means, those folks up there would truly appreciate it. We're going to hear a word from ICOM. And Ray Novak, N9JA, Mr. ICOM himself, is in the chat room. And there, if you're coming to the Huntsville Hamfest, there's a very special vehicle, a very special MCOM vehicle that ICOM has put together. And I think we have the website, or not the website, but a link to the Facebook page. I think, Brian, I sent that to you. If you don't have it handy, that's fine. Just go to Facebook and search for ICOM America, you out there in TV land, and you can see it for yourself. It's going to be pretty special. Of course, you can see it in person at the Huntsville Hamfest. And why don't we go ahead and get a word from ICOM right now?
Summertime fun. Get out there and get on the air. There's still plenty of time to enjoy the summer shine. Camping, road trips, hiking, and more. Wherever your adventure takes you this summer, make sure you bring your ICOM equipment along for the fun. On the go this summer, ICOM's new IC7300 is perfect for your next road trip. Revolutionary design and compact size, the real HF fun starts here. RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, real-time spectrum scope, SD card memory slot, and more. Why not communicate with the touch of your fingertips? Perfect for small spaces, the IC7100 is the ideal D-Star option for all outdoor seekers. Angle control head and touchscreen for quick intuitive operation, large internal speaker for clear digital audio, and it's perfect for multi-band and all-mode communications. Don't leave home without this mobile device. IC5100A is a must-have for summertime travel, intuitive touchscreen operation, dual receivers with GPS, DV dual watch, Bluetooth option, and headset option. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on all the great ICOM radios.
And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation and register to win some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. And while you're there, learn how you could win in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. And for August, that radio is going to be the ID880H switchable VHF-UHF dual-band transceiver. Does both analog and D-Star, 50 watts on both VHF and UHF, wideband receiver, free cloning software, and a lot more. So go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation after this and each episode of Ham Nation and register to win. Sign up, good luck, and don't forget to follow ICOM America Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. And there is MCOM1 there. The ICOM van that'll be on display at the Huntsville Hamfest this weekend. I'm going to I'm going to take my camera out there and get a good look at this, because I think that van probably covers just about every kind of communications there is. So looking forward to seeing it. And now I'm also looking forward to seeing the next Dayton Hamvention next year at its new location. And we've got Bob and Tim Duffy here for a little update.
This is going to be something special. Hey, before you go, George, I got to remind you something. You remember last week Gordo told us that he was going to go up on last week's show. He was going to go up last week on the 10 gig, some kind of microwave contest. Well, the joke's on him. It's not it's this coming Saturday. So you want to remind him that he should be home being on the contest. But here's the best part. I think he got up on that hill and all he could hear was a microwave oven. What do you think, George? Oh.
I think you're probably right. I will ask him if he's got his microwave dish packed in his luggage.
Yeah, tell him I got we got a hot pocket we want warmed up.
Well, the situation is, for all listening, seriously, it's this coming weekend. That's the 10 gig and up contest. So even though our Gordo gets confused once in a while because he's so busy and things get crazy. So, and seriously, I have to mention this. I got a really nice letter from Corey. Corey Showalter's been a couple weeks, and he was saying that Ham Nation is the reason that he wanted to get into amateur radio after he saw some programs, studied hard. He got his technician and his general license, and he now has a call. He just got it. It's KC3HOY. What a neat call, Corey. KC3HOY. I get a lot of these. I shouldn't just single out one person, but I just picked it up. It came in, I think, this morning or yesterday. But I got a whole bunch of other questions that we're going to get to, and it's going to be the master of antennas and everything else, and that's Tim Duffy, K3LR. Hello, Tim. How are you?
Hey, good evening, Bob. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we have you for two reasons tonight. You know, last week you were on with that fabulous drone video of the antenna farm, and we asked for questions. Well, we have them, and we'll go through those in a minute. But go ahead and tell us where you've been this week and what we're going to see.
Well, you know, last Thursday I took a team from DX Engineering. We had KC8YSU, and Terry KMNJ was with me, as well as Katie, our social media expert. And we went down and we took a look at what Hamvention 2017 will be. And it was very exciting to see what's going on. And without any notice, I ran into a meeting of the Hamvention chair people for the various parts of Hamvention that was going on. So it was really a very opportune moment. So, Brian, I think we're ready.
Welcome to another edition of DX Engineering Videos. And today we're on the road. We're actually in Xenia, Ohio, and we're here at the Greene County Fairgrounds, the new home of the Dayton Hamvention. And yes, you're hearing the thunder. We're actually in the middle of the afternoon filming this, and we're here with Michael Coulter, W8CI, who is the treasurer of the Dayton Amateur Radio Association. Welcome, Michael.
Tim, we're glad to have you here. Glad to have some of your team here to actually firsthand take a look at this, take some pictures, and you go back and you tell people what you think of it, the good and the bad. But we here are all excited to have a five-star golden event. And to have you here has been just, I mean, how honored is that? How honored are we? But I know that what you're doing, you're representing vendors, all the vendors who can't necessarily get here in time to voice some concerns and some great ideas that you've had for us too, because we consider this a collaboration and we want everybody to be happy. Will we stumble and fall? Maybe in some places we will, but we'll pick it up and we'll be much better even as the years go by. But our goal is not to be good, but to be great.
Well, Michael, I'll tell you, we walked all over the fairgrounds today. I mean, we spent time inside every building. We spent time down at the track, at the grandstand, looked at the restrooms, looked at where the parking area is, looked at where the RV vehicles will hook up. And I'll tell you, this place is so big. It's over 100 acres, right?
Yeah, it's about 108 acres that we have. And there's actually going to be more as the county and township is offering us some more land across the street, plenty of good parking. Just so many things are unfolding, Tim, and we've just really gotten involved in this in the last, what is it? It hasn't even been a month yet, has it, since we signed it. We have been working behind the scenes in case this would have happened, and we have teams that are just working every single day on this, every day.
You know, and I didn't even know this when we came down here this afternoon. I started seeing ham vehicles showing up. You know, they have the call sign plates on the back of the vehicles. And Michael says, oh, yeah, it's just another daily meeting for Hamvention. And I said, really? So, you know, we walk in, and here's, you know, 12 guys sitting around, and they all have notebooks, they all have checklists, they all have a mission statement, and that is to have a five-star event here. And I have to tell you, what I saw here today, I think you're well on your way, Michael.
Well, thank you. And our team of volunteers, 600 volunteers, we appreciate hearing that. Because when that many volunteers and these guys and gals all have a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in it, we're staking our reputation, all our reputations, especially of the Dayton Amateur Radio Association and Hamvention. We consider our event to be an important pillar in amateur radio, and we have so many people that we would let down if we did this wrong. So having people like you, and we get good information from people, not people just wanting to, well, that ain't going to work. You know, I looked at the pictures. That isn't good. But for you to come down here and take an honest look at it, an honest look and say, might I suggest this? This might be another way to do that. It's really, that's the kind of information that we want to hear. That's the kind of what I call real collaboration.
Well, thank you. And you are very open to suggestions, and not every suggestion that is being thrown out there is can be implemented, especially the first year. But it's going to be amazing just how fast this comes together. And as Ron, your general chairman, just reminded me, it's 9 months before Hamvention. We got a lot of stuff to do, and I really think that I'm able to stand back and take a different look at this. Not only as a 43-year attendee of Hamvention in the past, but also 34 years running the antenna forum at Hamvention. And I want to continue doing that. I wanted to make sure that the forum venues are solid here. And what I saw today just assures me that things are on the right track. You guys have really, in such a short period of time, Michael, figured out a lot of the ins and outs of what's going to go on. And there's still a lot of work to do.
There's still a lot of work, a lot of good innovation. And I also want to say a quick word about our past general chairman, Jim Teterman, N8IDS. We only allow people to be a general chair for 2 years, you know, and it's a non-paying job, but you put so much into it. And Jim put a lot into it. Not only did he run the Hamvention last year, he was our leader in trying to find and pushing us on to find an alternate location. And he had a select team of people that were a part of making that happen. So this has been, you know, this is part of the legacy of Hamvention, is to try to have the vision. And we hope that, we plan to make this a whole new event, a whole new era, and take it to levels that nobody's ever seen anywhere in the world.
Well, and speaking of the world, you're going to leave to go to Tokyo here shortly.
That's right. We just had a contingent come back from Germany, Friedrichshafen, because it's important that everybody knows we market this event. And why do we market this event? Part of the pillar that holds this event together are our vendors. And the more people we can bring in here, the happier they're going to be. Happy we're all going to be in the long run. So I'm leaving for Japan early next week, Tokyo, and I'm sure it'll be a lot of questions there. It just brings tears to your eyes sometimes when you get these emails from people all over the world, and they're saying,
how can we help? Or, you know, we do, believe me, I get the emails and we see it on blog sites of what are they thinking? You know, why didn't they go here or there? And maybe they should have taken a year out to take a look at. We don't have time for that. We can't. We did a lot of vetting, and it's important we keep it in this region. It's important to our volunteers. It's important yes. to you. People have things set up here. And, well, what do you think of the area so far? Not just the...
I think the area, what I've seen here at Greene County, that I mean, we had lunch with one of the Greene County officials today who are just... and. Named all the names of the people that have been associated with working with DARA to make sure that Hamvention is very welcome in this county. They are bending over backwards, and they're going to go above and beyond because they're very proud to have the institution of Hamvention and all the legacy memories that come along with it. So what I'm looking forward to is some new memories in 2017 at the Greene County Fairgrounds, both from the forum side, from the flea market side, the clean restrooms. I mean, you got to take this all in. But I think that there's so much opportunity here. And, Michael, thanks to you and the team of volunteers that are going to work every day to make Hamvention 2017 absolutely great.
There we go. That was great. And answers a few questions, and then it brings up a lot of questions. We'll just have to see how it all unfolds. What do you think?
Yeah, they have a whole lot more to implement, Bob, figuring out where the vendors are going to go exactly, laying out the flea market, exactly where all the forums are going to be located. But the good news is that they've got enough talent on the ground there that really understand things. I mean, even today, I was down in the store, and the facilities chair of DARA was in the store, and he is just very, very pumped and excited about the Greene County Fairgrounds. So, we got to give these guys a chance. We got to give them a pat on the back. We got to give them a thumbs up and say, you know, do your best, and we're going to be behind you.
Yeah, it'll take some time. I do believe the first year could have some downward falls, but hey, it's better than Hera. That's what I'm looking at. So we'll see how they pick it all up and squeeze everybody into the buildings, and we'll just make it all happen as it happens. Well, thank you for going. I really appreciate you taking the time to do that. It was great, and we'll have a lot of questions on the other side. And I'm sure you're going to go back several times, right?
Actually, I am. I'll be back there in September, and I'll probably go at least four times between now and Hamvention, and we will continue to do. We've got some ideas for some very innovative videos as more of the layout and the plan evolves. We'll overlay those things and. We might even take the W8WWV drone down there and do a shot. What do you think?
Yeah, that'll work. Yeah, well, I think we're all interested in that main building. It's air conditioned, what they're going to do with that and how it'll all lay out. I'm sure that's what they were doing when you visited and you saw all of the board of directors and stuff. That's got to be what they're thinking about. So we will stay in touch, and you'll be back with more reports and see what happens with Dayton Hamvention 2017, right?
Oh, absolutely, Bob. You know, I stay very close to this. It's Michael Coulter and Ron and Jim Teterman and all the guys down there. There's a lot of communication, and you're going to hear more on their website, too. So stay tuned on hamvention.org.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for doing that. Now, we're going to move to another topic. Last week, you were here and showed us that great video of the drone that was throughout your property. And we asked for questions. Well, we have some questions. I have a bunch of them, but let's take a few of them here. First of all, ladies first, Virginia, NV5F. She wanted to ask you about the maintenance routine. I thought this was a great question. What kind of maintenance routine do you have on such a huge arrangement of antennas?
Well, Bob, what I have here is what I call a proof of performance program. And what that is every 3 months, we go through with a vector network analyzer, a VNA, and actually take plots and measure each one of the antennas. Now, Bob, there are over 50 antennas here, and each one of them has its own unique VSWR signature, and we record that, and so we've got an archive. So if the VSWR gets better or gets worse, if it gets better, that can be a problem too. But if it changes, that alarms some of the bells. There are 25 rotors here. And in fact, this is rotor maintenance week. We're doing all sorts of upgrade work on the rotation systems here, make them more reliable. So there is constant maintenance when you have an antenna farm like this. And then the inside radio systems, we're upgrading the network. We upgraded all the computers. W9PA was very instrumental in putting together a whole new line of NUC computers. They're very small. You don't see the desktop computers here at K3LR anymore. The computers are about 4 inches by 4 inches by 2 inches thick, and they mount on the backs of the video screens now. That's the high-tech solid-state drives types of computers. You know, there are 14 computers in here. You don't hear a whisper now with these small Intel NUC computers that W9PA put together.
That's really cool. And I know that you're constantly updating it. You have to stay ahead of the game when you're in the contest. The contest world is very competitive. And if you sit by with last year's station, you're going to get passed up. That's for sure. I had another one, and this is another good question from Jim KK0GT. And he wanted to know about a situation he has. He's got 20 acres on top of one of the largest hills around, and his fear is a cell phone tower about 200 or so yards away from where he wants to build. And he wants to know what you thought would be the effect of being close to a cell tower on his signals, both received, transmitted, and the noise floor.
Well, that's a great question that I uniquely qualified to answer, having been chief technology officer for Cellular One for a number of years and working for AT&T before I worked for DX Engineering, my current employer. But if it's 200 yards away, the biggest concern is actually the tower itself, not so much that there's cellular telephone frequencies on there, which is going to be frequencies from 700 megahertz all the way up probably to at least 2.1 gigahertz, maybe even higher if it has some microwave with it. That's not the real concern, but the real concern would be interaction with low-frequency antennas, 80-meter antennas, 160-meter antennas, just based upon the height of that cell tower and that it could interact with any directive arrays. If he's going to put up omnidirectional antennas, maybe one vertical or a dipole, something like that on 80 or 160 meters, I wouldn't worry about it too much. But as far as any RFI noise generated by the cell site, by the cellular RF equipment in the amateur radio bands, I think any interference would be absolutely negligible at that distance.
Yeah, that's all of these are great questions, and you're exactly right on this. And I was thinking about it as I tossed it to you on this question. You would be the guy to answer this because you lived in that world for so long. Well, there's another really good one from Lowell, K9LDW. He said that Tim showed a pair of 40-meter Moxon antennas in addition to a quite large four-element ones on his 40-meter tower. He wants to know more about those Moxons. Are they custom, homebrew, or are they a commercially available antenna?
You know, that's a great question because one of the things that goes on here at K3LR is with two complete stations on every band, I do a lot of comparing. So I'm able to compare those two-element Moxons to those big, huge 370-pound full-size four-element 40-meter beams. And those moxins really hold their own. And they are, what I did was I had two Cushcraft XM240, two-element trapped 40-meter beams, and actually upgraded them to this moxin design. And on my website, www.k3lr.com, in the tab Station Engineering, you will find the three designs, the three different designs of the two-element moxin. And what the different designs are, you know, the wind survivability. W6NL, Dave Leeson, who is a very good friend of mine, actually did this design. And it shows how you take a Cushcraft XM240 and make it into a two-element 40-meter moxin, the longest element being about 46 feet, which is quite a bit shorter than the 70-foot-plus elements that you need on the full-size antenna. And I got to tell you, those two-element beams just work very, very well. And the SWR, Bob, you know, hams are always worried about SWR. From 7.0 to 7.3 megahertz, the SWR on those two-element moxins does not get above 1.4 to 1.
Wow, that's really super. That's the real advantage of a moxin, too. So we'll have to get into that sometime and talk about that to see why we would want to use some of the different antennas, and you could help us on that. Well, listen, thanks very much for being here tonight. We could be here for another half hour, an hour. I got more questions. Maybe we'll come back and do some more, but I had those come in. I thought I better get to those. And we appreciate everyone sending the questions in. And, of course, we all enjoy our tour of K3LR when we get that chance. So we're going to be looking for more information about the new Xenia Fairgrounds and see what Greene County has in store for all the amateur radio operators that are going to converge on their county in a few months. Thanks a lot, Tim. Thanks for being here. And we'll catch you on the air somewhere. Hopefully it'll be sooner than later, but I work a lot of AM, so I don't know if I'm going to catch you.
You know, these ICOM radios here in the background, they have AM on them. I've never used it, but you would be the first QSO I would do it for. So I know where you hang out. I have listened, but it's about time that I start to transmit on AM. And you'll be QSO number one. So thanks again for having me. Hope all this helped. And it's always fun to be on the show with you and the rest of the Ham Nation gang.
Okay. Thanks for being here. Very, very good. Well, we're going to take over and move over to see what Don's got. And then we're off to the ladies. So, Don, go ahead and tell us what we're going to be sleeping on soon.
I tell you, I'm about ready to just lay down and take a nap now because I got to see the K3LR megastation with these actual peepers last year, and just amazing. And there's somebody calling my phone. Of course, when I want to talk about taking a nap, the phone rings. Well, you know what? If you've got a really nice... Good Lord. If you've got a really nice mattress, this ringing phone is not going to bother you. And Casper is a really nice mattress. It's an online retailer, Casper, is a premium mattresses for a fraction of the cost. In fact, Casper is absolutely revolutionizing the mattress industry. And the way they're doing that is they're cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms by passing the savings directly to the customer. Now, what you're looking at there is some video of the head twit himself, Leo Laporte. He's unboxing his own Casper mattress. And so he's gonna give you the test out here. Now, Casper is obsessively engineered, but at a fair price. They give you two technologies: that's springy latex foam and supportive memory foam, and that gives you an award-winning sleep surface, just the right amount of sink, just the right amount of bounce. And Casper is a 2016 Business Intelligence Group Innovation Award. Speaking of bounce, did you see him do that? Do the Laporte dive? Ought to be in the Olympics right here. Look at that. Oh, backflop. Casper mattress will give you long-lasting comfort and support. It's a breathable design, keep you cool, help you regulate your temperature all through the night. You're going to love it. You can try it easily, buy it easily online, and completely risk-free. Try sleeping on a Casper mattress. It's even dog-friendly. Casper understands the importance of truly trying out a mattress that really you're going to spend a third of your life on, and you cannot do that by going and spending 30 seconds on a mattress in the mattress store. It just doesn't work like that. That's why Casper offers free delivery and painless returns with a 100-day tryout period. So you don't have to lie down in the showroom because it does nothing. Nothing. 100 days. And if you think it's not good in that 100 days, then you send it back to them and they'll take care of you. Did you know that statistically lying on a bed in a showroom seriously has no correlation to whether it's the right bed for you or not, because you don't spend enough time on there. You're not in your own sleep environment. So it's a waste of time and a waste of energy, and Casper takes care of that for you. Casper mattress is engineered to meet the Goldilocks standard of just right. Never too hard, never too soft, and they uphold the highest environmental production standards. Made in the USA, free shipping and returns to the USA and our friends up in the Great White North in Canada. I want you to get a Casper mattress, and I want you to get one today. $500 for a twin, $950 for a king size. Compare that to industry averages, and you'll see that that is an outstanding price. And you can save an additional $50 towards a mattress purchase as a Ham Nation viewer by going to casper.com/hamnation. Casper, just like Casper the Friendly Ghost, casper.com/hamnation. Enter the promo code HAMNATION, casper.com/hamnation, with promo code HAMNATION. Terms and conditions apply. You're going to love it, and if you don't, send it back. It's as simple as that. Time now to see what's going on with our friend Valerie. And Val, I have a question for you. And the question is, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. We've had some rain here, but not like you guys. But yeah, our lawn did flood again. But everything's going well. As a matter of fact, tonight I have a great guest on. We've got with us Ann Manna. She was first licensed back in 1979. Her call is Whiskey Bravo 1 Alpha Radio Uniform. I'm sorry, 1977. She got her novice ticket and upgraded to her general that same year, and then has since become an extra class license. And she's with the YLRL. She was first introduced to that when she made her very first YL contact. They sent her information on the YLRL and an application. And so she joined that along with the Women's Radio Amateur Operators of New England, WRONE. And she was very active, and she was asked to run for the District 1 chairman position, and she held that job for over 20 years. And since back in 2008 and 2009, she was president of the YLRL, and she was elected secretary in 2010. So, Ann Manna, welcome aboard, Ann.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here, and thank you for having me. I'm always happy to talk about Young Ladies Radio League.
Yes, because we need more YLs in the hobby, and this is a great way to get YLs to feel comfortable. So tell everybody about the YLRL that don't know. I mean, how long has it been around? How many members do you have?
Well, YLRL started back in 1939. Great story on how it began. It has to do with an ad in QST, and if you wanted to read the whole story, you can go to ylrl.org and you'll be able to read it. So 77 years that the organization has been in existence, and we have close to 400 members around the world, including members in Canada and 21 other countries. So it's not huge, but growing. We've gathered many new members this spring.
And hopefully we'll get more from people watching this show. Now, I know you're very active with Nets on Thursday nights. Why don't you talk a little bit about that? And I think I have a slide on that one, Brian, as well.
Okay. There are several Nets all through the week, all across the country. Some are local, some are international. There are lots of Nets. Thursday is a very good day to get on the air for YLs. There's a net called the Tangle Net on 1800 UTC at about 14.297. And it has been going on for a long time, and there's always somebody there to chat with. Several years ago, another gal from St. Louis and I decided to start an evening net. There had not been an evening YL net. And so we got it started on 14.288 on Thursday evenings. And the time isn't quite right there on that because it's... well, yeah, it is. I'm sorry. Summertime is 0... Something wrong there.
0200?
Well, it's 0100 right now, and it goes to 0200 on standard time. So it shouldn't be 0000. It should be 0100 because that's the Thursday evening net, and that's really a wide open net, and it's for just a chance for YLs to talk to other YLs. There's no big structure to it. If you can hear somebody, you call them. And, of course, sometimes some people hear each other and others don't. We've had check-ins from all over the country. Every week is different. That's preceded now by an EchoLink net that just got started about a year, a little better than a year ago. And it's run on the Alara node for EchoLink. And that's been a wonderful gateway for technician level hams, YLs to get on. It's only YLs. And again, sometimes it's a structured topic and sometimes it's just a share whatever you like kind of thing. And it's been a great way for a lot of newly licensed YLs to get on the air and get over their mic fright. And of course, on and that EchoLink net is an hour earlier than the HF net. And then there's the Minnow Club up in the Northwest has an EchoLink net another hour later. So it's a great evening to get on the air and enjoy talking to YLs. And there's also a DX net on Mondays.
And these are YLs only allowed on these nets, correct? Men can listen, but they can't participate?
Correct. And actually... Oftentimes the OMs will hang out and wait till the net's over if they especially are trying to collect some of the YL awards.
Oh, very good. Very good. Now, you also do some YL contests, I saw. I know when I first joined, I think you have a year-long contest, right? And I think the one I did, it was like every YL you talk to, you ask what their favorite color was, and you log it, and then you can turn that in and win a certificate. So kind of what are you... what kind of contest are you guys running this year?
Okay, we call it a friendship award, and it's only open to YLs. You don't have to be a member of YLIRL, but of course we'd like you to be. But this year's topic is favorite movie, and we've had favorite animal and colors, and we did an alphabet one. And it's just a chance for YLs to make contact with each other. And the nifty thing about this one is it can be absolutely any mode, including EchoLink. So, but we have some more standard awards, which are open to all licensed amateurs, including WASYL, WACYL, and YLCC, and so forth.
And I know I've saw on the YLRL you had some de-expeditions. I think Brian just showed that one slide where some YLs went to Granada. Was that organized through the YLRL, or they're just members who went on a de-expedition?
Members who went on a de-expedition. It wasn't organized by the organization, but it included members of the organization who went on it.
Okay, and you have some conventions here stateside every now and then as well, correct?
Yes, about every 3 or 4 years, we do have a convention. They've been in varied places. Our last one was in 2014 in Vancouver, Washington. Previously, we've been in Boston, Mass., and Huntsville, Denver, even Kauai, Hawaii, back when we celebrated our 50th anniversary in 1989.
So you should have one coming up probably next year then, correct?
Hopefully next year or the year after. It's either 3 or 4 years. Depends on who's ready to host it and so forth.
And there's a big one coming up. It's not really by the YLRL, but the Bailara group. They're having their International YL Conference. I know you guys are promoting that as well over in England. And that looks like a lot of fun.
I hope so. I'm planning to go. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, very good.
International YL is the most non-organization you ever ran into. It's just an event that happens every 2 years, but it is not an organization. It's kind of hard to explain.
And I think we have a lot more slides on that, Brian, if you just want to roll through those, because there are going to be some pretty cool outings there. It looks like you're going to the Enigma decoding facilities, which looks like a lot of fun. And what else was there? Oh, that mansion. Yeah, the Woburn Abbey. Is that right?
Yes.
And they're going to have tea, afternoon tea, and tour of the gardens and the mansion. And really sounds like a lot of fun. And then they're going to, end it off with the convention, the RSGB convention. Is that right? Or RBS?
Yes. The Royal
I think it's the next Society. Slide.
Yeah, the Royal Society of Great Britain, their convention is held the last weekend of the International YL Conference, so the RSGB convention. So, yes, we're going to take part in that as well.
Yeah, so it'll be a fun, jam-packed week. Any YLs looking to take a trip over to England and check things out there? Now, anybody interested in joining, how much is membership and what do you get for your membership?
Okay, it costs only $15 a year to be a member if you're in the U.S., an extra $4 for the cost of mailing if you're in Canada and Mexico, and the DX price is a little higher. And family members are only $3 additional because they share the same magazine, which is published 6 times a year. It's called YL Harmonics. It's a full 8.5 by 11 format magazine with news of members and activities that are going on, lots of pictures, and one issue each year is the directory issue with information about the membership, and that's a members-only issue. But the other issues are always available at ham fests and conventions around the country.
And with you joining the YLRL, in addition to the newsletter, you're helping to promote YLs in the hobby, right? And you have scholarships and things like that, right?
Absolutely. We exist to support YLs in a hobby that's overwhelmingly male. And one of our projects that we're most proud of is our scholarship fund, which is funded entirely by donations. And we have 3 scholarships. Two are $2,000 scholarships for full-time students. And one is a $1,000 scholarship for part-time students who are working full-time. And that we're very pleased that we're able to continue to provide these scholarships. And they are named in honor of some very much beloved former members of YLRL, Ethel Smith, Mary Lou Brown, and Marty Wessel. And people who are not even aware of YLRL certainly know the names Ethel Smith and Mary Lou Brown.
Very good. Well, so anybody out there, hopefully you'll join the YLRL, any newly licensed YLs, or if you've been licensed a while, we want the more members, the better. So thanks, Anne, for joining us. Appreciate it, and telling everybody about the YLRL.
Thank you for having me, and I look forward to chatting with you on the air.
All right, and have fun at your trip at Bailara. That sounds like a good time. All right, and that's as far as DXing and contesting goes, there's a little bit going on, so I have a short video on upcoming contests, including some YL contests.
You know, Val, I don't think I have that video. I think I just had
this. It's in the email. Sorry.
You know, all I have is the slides. I can try and...
It's in there. I looked at it. Hang on.
Is Anna still here and I can ask her some questions?
Yeah, actually, I can get that video pulled up in a sec.
Great. Okay. I'll start with that. Anna, first of all, so nice to meet you. I have to shamefully admit that I am not a member, and I am going to look into becoming a member ASAP. So I do have a couple of questions for you. And first, how did you get involved in ham radio?
Well, I guess probably the same answer that about half of the YLs have. The guy I married was a ham before I married him.
Okay, that's great. And I'll tell you my story. My husband got his license a couple years before me, and he influenced me to get it by telling me that he didn't think I could do it. He didn't think I could pass the test. So anyhow, what do you say to people to try to get them involved in ham radio?
I've told them, I guess probably for me, the thing that I have enjoyed the most from ham radio has to be the people that I've met, the women and men that I've met through ham radio, the travel that I have been able to do that I never expected. I've been to Australia, I've been to Europe, I'm going to England and Scotland, places all over the United States that I never, some places I might not have gone to, and some places that I longed to go to and didn't think I would get to. And it's because of ham radio that I've met people and traveled to places to meet them in person and talk to them on the air. And I think that's what I like about ham radio. But there's so many options, emergency work and message handling. There's just so many options in ham radio that there's something for everybody.
Absolutely. And you saying that you're traveling or have traveled all over the world meeting other YLs, do you get kind of the same feeling from them? Are they in it for the same reasons? Do they get the same pleasure just meeting other people around the world, other women? What did you kind of get from that?
I think just like all hams, men or women, everybody finds their niche. Because of the traveling part, I've met other YLs who enjoy that aspect of amateur radio, traveling to meet others. But I think the emergency communications, public service, I do some public service work also, Boston Marathon. It's always a great opportunity to help others and use your skills.
Very good. It must just be so exciting. The other thing I have to know is, do you have like daily nets or weekly nets on HF that we can all join up on? Anything like that?
Yes. In fact, Val and I did talk about that. There are nets on several different days on HF. Some local nets on like 75 or 40. Well, 40 is actually pretty good nationwide. 20 meters, and also even now some Echolink. And by the way, my first name is Anne with an E.
Yeah, it's okay. Anne.
Okay. And Brian? I'm sorry, I shut down my computer's screen, so I don't always see the whole like last conversation. So I apologize for reiterating what you guys already talked about there. Go ahead, Val.
You know, I would just wanted Brian to fix the name on the thing, but yeah, there, if you go to the YLRL.org and you go into their nets, there's a whole list of nets, that are local, and most of them are the Thursday nets. But like Ann said, there were some on some other days as well. I think there was a Friday morning net, and Ann mentioned a Monday net. But Thursday night seems to be the big night. So if you're not busy on Thursday nights and you're a YL, I'm sure you can find a net. So yeah, there's a whole list right there. So so get out there and like Ann said, it's probably a really good way to get over your mic fright speaking to other women about non-technical things, because I know when I first started, I was afraid to get on the air. People I was so afraid people would ask me technical questions that I would not know the answer to. So we had a fun net, luckily, where I lived. Every week it was different. What's your favorite movie? What's your favorite toppings? You know, just very easy things to draw you in and get you over your fear of the microphone. So. But yeah, that's all I've got.
I completely understand that. And it's not about mic shyness. You don't mind talking as long as they're not going to ask you about, whoa, what are you running there? What's your station? Tell me your setup. you're going, oh gosh, I can't remember the antenna exactly. You know, those things are really rough. And then you get, not everybody wants to talk about the weather every single day, every single QSO. It's fine. I know that's one of the things that people talk about a lot, but it's hard for us to just, that's not what I guess we're programmed to do. What do you think, Anne?
I agree that I think most all of us are apt to throw in a weather report, especially if the weather's been unusually hot or unusually wet. But you're right. And I was going to comment one other thing that I found a lot of the YLs have really got involved with is national parks on the air. So activating and working them. But a lot of the gals have been having a blast activating national parks. That's another little hobby activity for ham radio.
Oh, I wish I had some pictures. We just activated a national park this last weekend, and it was a blast. So we went to the Great Sand Dunes, and it's an amazing place I've never been to in Colorado, and I've been here my whole life, obviously. And it was a lot of fun running that pile up and running the portable stations, no less. So we made about 344 contacts, by the way. It was so much fun, and I am a chaser as well. Val, do you chase the POTAs?
You know, I was at first, but I've just been so busy, I haven't had a chance to stay active with it. I started off the first few months, and I was really crazy about it, but I just don't have the time, so I had to let something go. Yeah.
Understandable. And let's check in with Brian. Brian, how you doing on that video?
He's got it.
Got it already.
Okay, well, I'll stand by then, you guys.
Okay. Here, since we're in the spirit of YL, I'll tell you about the Australian Ladies Amateur Radio Association. They're having the 36th annual YL contest. Now, YLs can work everyone, YLs and OMs. Now, OMs can only work YLs. It's going to be both sideband NCW or give your hand at trying both. It's going to be 80 meters through 10, no work bands, and no 160. And also, 2-meter and echolink contacts will count as well. There's the different exchanges you would give, whether you're an ALARA member, a YL non-member, or an OM. Now, if you want more information, just go to that website. The YLRL is having their DX North American YL Anniversary Contest. Now, you can work the same station on different bands. Your multipliers are your ARRL sections, Canadian provinces, and DX entities. And there's the different power levels and what those points are worth. That's an easy exchange. It's your call sign, a serial number, sequential serial number, your signal report, and your ARRL section, Canadian province, or DX entity. And for more information, you can go to the YLRL.org. NAQP is having their sideband contest this Saturday and Sunday. It starts at 1800 UTC through 0600 UTC. No more than 100 watts, so it's a low power event. You can work a station once per band. Multipliers are all 50 states, 13 provinces, Central America, and North American Caribbean. Now, if you use a spotting network, they're going to throw you in the multi category. And up at the top is a typical exchange, pretty easy to work that one. So get in there and give it a try. Here's your DX files coming up. Not a lot, still summer, but there is some stuff coming up. The CY9C St. Paul Island Expedition is coming up in the next couple of days. They're going to be there for about 10 days. They're also going to activate 60, 160, 6-meter, and 2-meter EME and satellite in addition to the normal bands. Bhutan is also coming up August 22nd through the 27th. There's four operators going there, so there's going to be four different call signs, all starting with Alpha 52. And for you IOTA chasers, we have Kunashir Island coming up August 17th through the 24th. That's IOTA number Alpha Sierra 025. And that's it for your DXing and contesting this week. And there is one DX expedition coming up, but it's not until early 2018. I don't know if you guys heard. Bouvet Island, Jerry's going, Ralph Fedor and Bob Alphen are putting that thing together, and I am going to be the lead pilot on that one, so I'll be getting all those emails, can't wait. But that's going to be a nice top 10 most wanted boat ride and then a helicopter from the boat onto the island. So that's going to be probably the most expensive de-expedition to date. And I just want to give a little shout out. I just got this in the mail. We got the sweepstakes award, but this plaque was sponsored by ICOM. Thanks, Ray and Will and the gang at ICOM. I love getting plaques. So that's all I've got. I'll hand it over to you, Amanda, to finish up the chat room.
And a couple more things, just two announcements, and I'll have another question here. Walt W3DDT wanted us to know that his retired meteorologist friend, Eddie Holmes, just got his technician license, KM4VYH. So you guys, if you hear him on the air, give him a big congrats. Other thing is that the Tampa Amateur Radio Fest is happening August 20th. I know that's also during Huntsville, but if you can't make it to one, make it to the other. So other than that, one more question, Fran. We have, are you going to Boxborough, Massachusetts Hamvention?
Absolutely. YLRL will be there.
Okay, great to know, you guys. So look out for her and make sure you say a big hello and say you love seeing her on Ham Nation. Other than that, we'll send it over to Don.
Well, that fascinating stuff tonight. Very nice to meet you, man. It's been a great night. We've had a lot of really good content tonight on Ham Nation, and we're running a little bit late, so it's probably time that we wrap it up. But Val and Ann and Amanda, it's so nice to be surrounded by the lovely ladies. There aren't enough of you guys in amateur radio, and we like to encourage that type of activity wherever we can. So let me bring you up to date on what's going on with the nets. Of course, the digital nets on 14 Charlie for D-Star and 355-800. That is the dewdrop in on Echolink. 14-283 for 20 meters, 7180 for 40 meters. I understand that 40 is probably in better shape than 20, but those are the nets tonight. George, are you around? Do you have anything more to add?
We don't actually have
just
George.
Just ladies and Don.
Yeah.
Well,
no,
I
think we should all give our best Olympic stance.
Yes, exactly.
I'm a gold champion. I love watching the Olympics. I don't know about you guys, but I'm addicted. So.
My wife and I were my wife and I were watching the floor exercises last night, watching Simone Biles and Allie Raisman, and she casually looked up and looked over at me and said, "You know what, if we had one of them big mattresses on the floor like that, we could do that." And I went, "What are you talking about? God, is that more than iced tea in your glass?" And on that note of craziness, I think we should probably say goodnight, Gracie. So, congratulations to the U.S. Olympic team. They're leading by a long stretch in the medal count, and hopefully that will continue. And again, if you can support the Red Cross and the other charities who are helping the folks in the Louisiana flooding, certainly would encourage that. And for all of those people, I say thank you very much. So on that note, we'll say goodnight from Ham Nation. And those of us who will be in Huntsville, we'll see you in Huntsville. And those of us who are not going to be in Huntsville, we'll see you right here next week. So from all of us here at Ham Nation, goodnight and 7-3.